Kilo Echo 8 Alpha X-ray Charlie, mobile. NADDF.
K8RUH.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this fine trafficy morning?
I'm hoping this is going to be the last day that I wake up with a cough. How are you?
Apparently better than you are. You got a cold going there?
It was 2 weeks since last Friday that I started feeling ill. Not like dying ill. I did take one day off of work, but like just an annoying chest cold and sinus infection that would not go away. The sinus infection is finally gone, but the chest cold, just an annoying like tickle in your upper respiratory that never stops. So now I think it's like a habit.
That sucks. Yeah, I think I was fighting something over the weekend. I don't know what it was. It wasn't a cold or anything, but, man, I was just off. I was exhausted and just, I don't know, that feeling when you are, like, getting over being, like, really sick, like, exhausted, a little faint, but overall okay. It was really weird, but I've been feeling just fine yesterday and today. We'll see.
Tell me why it just took me 5 minutes at McDonald's to get a coffee and the cup's half full, and it cost $5.
That sucks. What kind of coffee did you buy at McDonald's that cost $5?
I got a large cappuccino, and it was like $4.80. And then I went to the drive-thru. No one was there. I had to pull it through the window. Then it took them like a solid 3-4 minutes to get me my coffee. And they handed me, and I feel like it's empty.
That sucks. Yeah, I got to stop and grab a coffee in a minute here, because I slow-rolled it this morning and didn't get out of bed fast enough. And it's election day, so my wife and daughter are off, so I didn't even turn the coffee pot on.
You're doing no juice. I was trying something new today. I've been getting ruffles, and I was like, I got to stop drinking these things every day. Like, there's no scientific proof that they're bad for me, but they can't be good for me. So I'm going to try to switch it up. I was like, I pass the McDonald's every morning. It's like a half mile away from the gas station I go to and get a coffee. And so far, the experience is pretty annoying.
I bet if you looked into it, there is scientific proof those are bad for you.
Coffee is expensive because they're paying McDonald's $15 an hour to their employees. Got to remember, you got to cover that overhead.
That's not why coffee's expensive. Coffee's expensive because it's tariffs and it comes from South America.
Valid point, but yeah, like I said, I mean, I've had coffee with Sean over at Starbucks, and he sits there in the drive-thru, and like, we're the only car in line. We're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. You know, it's by the time we pulled out of there, we had about a half a dozen cars behind us one morning. Anyhow, good morning, W8RCY. I'll let you gentlemen continue on.
Morning, Donald. You are probably correct on the coffee. Well, no, Anthony is correct on the coffee, but the food, it should not cost me $13 for a breakfast sandwich, a coffee, and a hash patty. So I think that's where that labor cost comes in.
All right, guys, I'm in line right now.
Good timing because I'm sitting in a crater right now.
All right, and I am back. You out of that crater, Dakota? Donald, you still around?
Yes, I'm still here. I hadn't heard Dakota yet, but I was just looking up breakfast at McDonald's on DoorDash, and yeah, it's $10 for a medium-sized coffee, sausage with muffin with egg, and of course the hash brown. So yeah, it's $10 here plus probably processing fees and everything else. But I get most of that stuff waived, no delivery fees. And, you know, a fair tip. You're still close to $12 just to get that, if I have it delivered DoorDash. Dakota, you back?
I'm back. I was in a low spot on the south side of town, and now I should be good for the remainder of the trip here until I get to that usual spot on 53. Yeah, DoorDash is also ridiculous. This weekend, I DoorDashed Taco Bell. And I did it at like 1:30 on Sunday. I was like, I'll just eat an early dinner, whatever. I didn't even watch any breakfast. I'm hungry. I'm hangry. And never showed up. It's like 2:30. I'm like, what the hell? So I checked. It got assigned to like 7 different DoorDashers. I called the store. They said they made it 3 times. 3 different DoorDashers took it. And I'm like, okay, well, I didn't get my food. And she goes, there's nothing I can do. So I placed another order. The lady was really nice. I placed another order. That one actually got delivered, and then she delivered, quote, the first one that never showed up, and then canceled the second one, so I got a refund. So, DoorDash sucks.
I refuse to use DoorDash. I've only used it once when I was in town here. I've used it when we were on vacation, but that's it. I mean, it's like, get out of your house and go pick it up. But Dakota, I understand you got 3 little kids you don't want to pack up to go get Taco Bell, but man, it costs a ton of money, that additional fees, and then you got other people handling your food. It's just not for me, that's for sure. If I can't get my ass out of the house to go get it, I should probably cook something I have in the house.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I don't like it, but the convenience, like, my youngest was napping, and I'm like, there's no food in the house. He's napping. I'm not going to wake him up to go eat, so DoorDash it is. And then, we were out of coffee Saturday morning. DoorDash to Red Bull. Like, it's so stupid, but the convenience is so not worth what you're paying, but worth what you're paying. So I look forward to the days when the kids are old enough to say, all right, get in the truck, run to the store, and I don't have to do anything.
There's also those with disabilities that are not as ambulatory as they used to be, and those kind of things. And like I say, being an old fart senior at 69 with a disability, there are days I can't be outside. There are days I'm not going to go walking on an icy winter street, across the street to DoorDash my Starbucks if I were to do that. So there are benefits if you look at it and you get your service fees reduced, no delivery fee charges, and you pay the fair minimum for a tip. That's my story, and you can agree or disagree. I understand everybody's got a point, but for me, with a disability and not driving and things like that, like I used to do before I retired with my disability, it's helped me a great deal.
Gotcha. Hey, Dakota, did you do any more work with your antennas? You used to play radio last night?
No radio last night. I ordered a new antenna, and I just checked shipping, actually, while Donald was talking, and it's not going to be here today, which annoys me. It'll be here tomorrow, but my mag mount will be here today, so at least tomorrow I will have a proper antenna with this man pack.
Go ahead, Anthony.
very cool. Yeah, I didn't do anything last night. I had I didn't get home from my dentist appointment until about 6 o'clock. So by the time I did that, got home, had dinner, did some stuff around the house, I was done. But I got a couple things I'd like to get done tonight. And then I did come across a Bearcat scanner at work yesterday. So I ordered the power supply for it, and that should come today. Test it out tonight, and then maybe see what type of antenna I need to buy if it's working. See how that thing works out.
What model number type of Bearcat scanner did you get from Unity?
I don't know which one it is. It's like a mobile rig. It's not the handheld. It's not a new one by any means, but I think it's still available new retail. Hi, do you know how to program it, Donald?
Yeah, I have the software to program some of them, but not all of them. I just have from Unity and a couple of sure pocket-sized scanners that I use for racing that are on my belt hooked into my headset, and I can program them or get them downloaded at the track from the suppliers and get it done. But they get updated every race week that I work. So, I just wondering what kind of investment you made. I was wondering if you made an investment in like one of the top two SDS models that are like $600-$700, but no, if you got it used and so on and so forth. And they are programmable. You get the software from Unity for free, and cables are next to nothing.
Yeah, it's a trunked scanner, so it is a police scanner that I'll be able to hopefully figure out how to program all the local police frequencies, and it's not an analog scanner.
Well, I'll just quickly say, make sure you can, because you can't really unlock encryption. You can, you can do data, you can do, you can do digital, but you can't do stuff that is like here in Oakland County where I live. All of Oakland County's law enforcement frequencies are encrypted. There's no scanner you can get that's going to open that up. But I can pick up the entire Oakland County fire and rescue and paramedic teams on some of the equipment that I have. But, you got to read the fine print on what you got. If you can give me the model number down the road, I can look it up and see exactly what you got. Antennas are a dime a dozen. If you want a home scanner antenna, I have it on glass on mine, and it's an old Radio Shack scanner, but it works fine. It's almost like just sticking a coat hanger wire on it, and it works. All right, I'm going to back out. I'll let you guys continue on. I've got to get my day started. WARCY, have a great day, and Dakota, hand it to you.
Have a good day, Donald. I'm staying out of that conversation because I've looked at scanners many a times. I want one. I have absolutely no need for one. And, I don't need to spend $600 on a scanner, but I want one.
Oh, I totally understand. And that's why this one came at the right price. So I'm going to fiddle around with it, buy all the accessories on Amazon. If it doesn't work, then I'll return them. You know, it's so easy to do it now like that. It's almost unfortunate that, you know, it happens that way. I guess people are driving on the other side of the road. But it works out well. So, yeah, I'm going to try to get that going tonight.
Let me know how you make out. I don't feel bad for Amazon. Don't feel bad for Amazon. Their customer service sucks, and I spend enough money with them that I should get plenty of stuff for free. And I don't know if you looked at that radio I sent you, but that's kind of where my brain went, is like, how small can I make a 25-watt man pack?
Yeah, that radio is pretty nice. You know, they do make, I have that DB20G. They make a 25-watt in that radio also. That's also a small form factor radio. But that thing, yeah, a 25-watt radio and a small man pack would be perfect. That 20-watt that I have has proved to be pretty good, too. So 25 would just make it a little bit better.
I'm only on 15 right now, and it's getting the job done. I'd say 10 is probably a reasonable amount of power with a decent antenna for my commute, at least. Radiodity's got one that's even smaller than that, and it supposedly does DMR at 25 watts. I got to get a model number and check that out, but that might be the route I take. I mean, it's like palm size, but it's a mobile, and it's got GPS, does APRS, DMR, UHF, VHF. So I don't know. Radiodity is usually pretty good. They've got halfway decent stuff, and if I'm going to buy a Chinese radio, I think it would probably be a Radiodity. Or a QIT, which I don't know if there's a difference there or not, but I got to look that up when I get to work, and then I can put it in. Some guy had it in a Maxpedition pouch.
Yeah, man, when you figure out what radio that is, let me know, because I would love to figure that out. That seems like it checks every box.
It's basically an 878 on steroids.
Yeah, no kidding. That is pretty awesome.
So that's my new objective. I don't think I'm going to replace the 150 in the truck just yet. I'm going to try to get something that I can fit inside of my backpack that I take to work. That's the goal.
Yeah, that would be awesome. In your work backpack, and then it's always there. Heck, you put a mag mount on your desk at work and you're using it. It'd be even better if you had a radio that you could work off of a Bluetooth headset, and then you could just sit there at work and monitor.
I'm sure the guy I share an office with would love that.
Oh, yeah. Were you listening to anything yesterday? I'll just leave it at that, and I'll text you in a few minutes if you don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I was not. I think I know what you're talking about, and those frequencies are about to come out of my radio, so no.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But, hey, man, give me five. I just pulled up at the shop and got to get in, and I'll try to call back out once I get my stuff set up at my desk.
Sounds good. Take your time. I got 20-something left. NHDF.
KE8RUH. KEARUH. Dakota, you still out there?
Yes, sir.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking, I think the Anytone 578, I think that's a smaller form factor radio also. I'm not 100% sure, but you might want to, I know it's more expensive than probably what you're looking at, but it's it may have a smaller footprint. I don't know if it's small enough to go in your backpack, but, I mean, I know that's a good radio.
That would be a pretty sweet radio to stuff in a bag, and I'm pretty sure Armalock makes stuff for it, so that could get out of hand quick.
Yes, I know they do. You know, the one thing with that is it'd be cool to have an Armalock case, but I think that does bulk things up. But then you do have the relocation ability of Armalock to move the cables and features.
Yeah, I'm torn between, like, do I do it all out like I did with this 857, or do I grab the cheapest, smallest mobile I can, stuff it in a pouch with like a 7-amp-hour or a 4.5-amp-hour battery?
Well, here's what I can tell you is if you found a cheap radio and proved it out and had, you know, you already have a 7-amp-hour battery, you have a bunch of the stuff to make this work, you could build a inexpensive one that that works and then prove to yourself that you need to build the expensive one. I mean, you'll always be able to flip a man pack or even have it for extra use or whatever, pass it over to your dad or something like that.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know that I've got two bags coming today that should fit substantially better than the one I have. So that might just rule everything out. I might just rock the 857. I'm going in the hole. I will be back in a minute. NABBF.
K8RUH, I'll be waiting for your departure from the hole.
Fire in the hole!
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. What's shaking? It's frosty this morning.
You know, it is chilly out there. It felt colder today than it's felt in several days, so I think we're on the cusp of getting winter weather.
Okay, I made it.
There you go, out of the hole. Yup, now I noticed the windows were all frosted up today, and I ran out of the house with just a sweatshirt, so... Could have prom fine, but I could probably throw in a jacket on.
Yep, I know how that goes. I threw a jacket on this morning and was not sad about it. Hey, Dakota, one last thought on that man bag thing and how you could use that if you built two of them, you had the cheap radio as a proof of concept. Make sure it has GMRS, and then you could always use it when you're caravanning up north or something, throw it to a buddy and use it simplex GMRS, and that's always a good time. So just another thought, and then I think it goes over to Sean.
Well, I'm only about a half mile from my neck from my stop here. I was working right near home this morning, so I heard just a little bit of the discussion about Dakota still working on package. Oh no, I'm a mile and a half from my destination, so I might make another round. Talking about bags coming and getting that 857 set up all square. So I just coming in hot a little bit. Figuring out what's being discussed. That's why I threw out the good old weather. It's always safe, if not boring. That and my ailments. Dakota?
I don't know if I said good morning, but good morning, Sean. Yeah, we're discussing how hard it is to find bags for these things. They're always too big unless you spend 200 some bucks on a specific pouch that's not even a bag. Put it in. So they're talking about, oh, there's a handful of UHF mobiles out there that are 20, 25 watts that are home size that you can fit in a pouch. And I've been noodling that around too, something that I can literally substitute an HD with in the bag. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been spending too much money on radio crap recently.
Yeah, but isn't that the fun of it, is always trying to build something new and spending more money on it?
I was going to say exactly that. You know, that's the part we like.
And once you get everything all perfect and you get it just where you want it, then you tire of it and move on. Oh, geez. It's a sickness. But getting it perfected is always fun. I got one bag. It's made for a bike. It goes on the back of my bicycle. It clips into a rack on the back of my bike. And I've got that 105. You know, and a few other odds and ends that I use with biking. And so if I ever go biking and I want to bring that with me, I'd use that, obviously. But normally I'm a backpack guy. The one strap of it over my one shoulder, that's kind of how I roll. And so I'm always looking for something like that whenever I'm looking for some sort of a go kit. And I had something. I had for my little 818 or whatever it was, 817, 818. I think I had 817ND, which is the same as the 818. I think I had a camera bag. It kind of came with something else. I don't even remember, and that worked out pretty good too. So there's a lot of stuff. You just got to find just the right one. Maybe look in different genres, if you will.
Yeah, I'm trying not to make it all tactical either. I want it to be as plain Jane, you know, it's just a bag in a bag kind of deal. But I also don't want to, how would I say this? I don't want to put unnecessary use on my 857 because it's discontinued. I looked up the serial number too, by the way. This is 2006, so she's vintage. So if I'm just bebopping to and from work and commuting on the repeaters, I would rather stuff some cheap radio in a bag that I don't care about in this gem.
Yeah, that totally makes sense because you could just beat the crap out of some $125 25 watt Chinese radio and then have the good stuff for when you need the good stuff.
I was 9 when this radio was made. No, I can't do math. I'm an idiot. 13.
As you were saying that, I was really hoping you were wrong.
Well, I guess I'm going to do some more shopping this morning.
I just found the bag that that I bought that my radio's in. I'll send it over to you. It's a $18 Chinese nonsense bag, but it works out pretty well.
It just has to hold things and the zipper has to work. That's it. Very simple. And real quick before I forget, so that battery, my 7 amp, it charged in like an hour last night, and the voltage is the exact same today. So I'm thinking I had way more juice than I anticipated. I have an inline meter that'll actually calculate draw and all that crap, so I'm going to put that on it, I think, and run it for a day, or a morning, I should say, and then I'll just double that because that'll be worst-case scenario. I usually talk less in the afternoon, but I think the 7 amp hour is probably plenty for a couple days.
I would think so.
Jump. I'm back.
I would think so,
yeah,
Sean.
I doubled there a little bit, but I got you both. Go ahead, Sean.
No, nothing. Just I had to jump, I just tuned back in.
Dakota, I would think so. I have, on my little kit, I have I think it's a 4 amp hour battery, and it is, I've never had to charge it out of necessity. So I've never put as much use into it as you're putting in on a daily basis now, but it works fine. So yeah, I bet you have more juice than you think you do.
All right, Sean, I'll catch you later. And, yeah, 7 amp hour, I mean, really, so I'm on 15 watts, which is 3 times an HP. It's got to be drawn, like, next to nothing, because I can run an HP on a battery for there and back without charging it.
Yeah, you should have more than enough juice to get 4 days out of it. I mean, it makes sense to be a little bit more cautious than that, but once in a while you should test it and see how much juice you do have.
Yeah, I'm going to hunt for a more elaborate 12-volt charger. Like, all my LiPo battery chargers, like, they give me tons of data, which I like. You know, how much they charged it, how long it took, the voltage when it started, the voltage when it ended, that kind of thing, the current. I don't know that I can do that with 12-volt batteries because they don't have balance leads or anything like the LiPos do. There's really no intelligent chargers. So instead of buying a NoCo, I just cut the alligator clips off that other one, like you said, put power poles on it, and it worked like a dream. I unplugged the radio while I was in the bag, plugged it in, the battery done.
Perfect. That's going to save you a ton of time to not having to pull that battery in and out of the bag.
Yeah, so good call. And while I was at it, I ordered another power cable for my radio. So I'm going to take the factory one, which I'm assuming is the factory one, bundle it up, put it away, and then I'm going to shorten the crap out of this other one to about 8 inches and leave it in the bag.
Holy smoke, is that new building downtown I'm seeing way the hell up here?
I don't know. I didn't know they put up a building that tall that you'd see it from wherever you're at in Macomb County.
I'm out of the show.
No, I'm on Mound.
That new building.
Mile road, and you can generally get a good clear day to
see it from
rest.
My balconies in my bedroom
but there's something
like
reflecting
like
sunlight.
A bright,
you know,
white
just,
monolith. Like,
what the hell is that? It's really the way it's reflecting sunlight. And it occurred to me, that might be that brand new building they built down there. I think it's monstrous. It's the biggest building in Detroit.
It sure could be. I mean, it would make sense that you'd see a light reflection. The sun keeps moving angles every day now since they're getting light, less and less light every day.
I doubled on Sean. It's the new Hudson's building, and I see it at night from my balcony, and it's lit up like a bright white monolith at night. You don't even see the Rensen anymore in the skyline. That thing is just one big, bright, white tower of light. WERCY.
Right now, if you look, do you see it like it's reflecting a ton of sunlight?
Give me a second.
I'm going to jump out, guys. I just pulled in, so I'll catch everyone later. NACVF.
I see more of the Rensen than I do of that, but now it's the other way around.
That wasn't a question, but okay.
So I guess it'll remain a mystery, but I'm pretty sure that's what I'm seeing. I don't know, hard to say. Anywho, got about a mile to go to my next stop.
Hey guys, I'm out of here. I got to get to work with KE8RUH. We'll catch up with you guys tomorrow.
All right, Anthony, we'll catch you then. Just, late start for me today, working down here in the city, so not a lot of drive time, just a little hop from here to there, and I'm almost there. W8FU.
Anthony, you have a great day. Coda, if you still got ears going, you sure have a great day. I got to go across the street and get my monthly cardio exam taken care of, and then I'm pretty much done for the day, but I got to be there at 8. That's why I checked out early. All right, Sean, you're heading downtown. I take it. Have a safe day. Have a safe drive. And we'll be back on the air probably around 8:45, I should be home.
Okay, catch everybody later. I am final approaching my stop as well. So, ta-ta for now. W8FU.
Morning, guys. Good morning. 73 Doll. Have a great day at work. Short drive today, Grand Rapids and Southfield. And I'll check everybody on the road. KCKGO.
Short drive to Grand Rapids.
Yeah, going to the office first. I'll meet up with the boss's boss. She wants to meet everybody, so co-worker and I are going to go do that. I'm going to go to Farmington. After Farmington, Grand Rapids, and then see how that goes from there.
So you get Farmington first, it would be, well, you get Auburn Hills, then Farmington. Should be some windshield time today, though.
Yeah, a little bit of windshield time. You going into Auburn Hills?
I am.
I'll see what time I get there, and we can meet up if you want. I can drop this 4550 off to you.
Yeah, that might work. I don't know. Think of heading over to the tech center or what?
Well, right now I'm still over by home, so I won't get to that area until probably about another 45 minutes, probably about a little bit after 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm planning to be there about 8 o'clock. Is, are you able to go under in the parking garage, or is it better to go outside?
Oh no, this thing won't fit in the parking garage. Even my park cart that I had didn't fit, and I actually got wedged in that garage once. Bent my ladder rack and everything because security demanded that I park there. And then when they found out I couldn't fit and I got stuck, then they tried blaming me. I'm like, you're the one that told me to park there. So, I got you on Discord if anything when I'm done at the office. I can buzz over there real quick and meet you in the lobby or something.
Yeah, I'll probably have to come out and meet you, but kind of think where the best spot to do that would be. Probably if you go around the tower.
Oh, back by shipping?
Maybe. Hurdle. There's a... There's a little, there might be a little spot where you can, like, pull around in a little court cut kind of deal, but a cul-de-sac on the south side of the tower.
We can do that when I get up closer that way. Because right now I'm buzzing through Armada. I go up to, you know, there's no purpose in me going all the way down the Hall Road to go all the way back up, so I come up through Armada, Richmond, Rochester area.
It's the important question, do you have Venmo, or, I don't have cash on me right now, so maybe I'll have to scratch it until I get cash.
No, I do Venmo.
Alright. Yeah, just send me a message when that'll work out.
We are on the Flint area then. What does it take you, 45 minutes? Can't down from up there by Flint?
I think it's 50 with no traffic. I'm a little north of Flint, so. But, yeah, they still got southbound down to two lanes here. They opened it up, so we're on the southbound lanes, but they haven't opened the third lane here.
KF80FB. KF80FQ, good morning. KFQQ.
Yeah, that was KF8DFV as in Victor. I just wanted to chime in. I hear you guys talking about the 75 construction. They just made a change this morning, and around the Grand Blanc area, northbound is down to one lane because they're pulling out the cement barricade. I just wanted to throw that in case it helps. KF8DFV, I'll be clear.
Yeah, I think they bring it down to one lane on the north side when they're doing that, but... They only do that when they're working. They'll bring it up to two when they're back.
Well, by the time I got to go to Grand Rapids, I'll be in Farmington, so I'll be taking 696 west and then 96 instead of going up to Flint.
Yeah, what is 69 all the way home?
Yeah, when I'm done up in Grand Rapids, I'll take 69 all the way home. It's a lot faster.
ABY, hell, last week I did go to Romeo and took 69 over to 53 and took that down. So that was, haven't been that way in a while, but it was kind of finding a repeater in there. But, like I was in Alma and couldn't hit Romeo.
You remember the Bank Richmond or the Detroit repeater? You can try that. The other one is probably UMP in Mount Clemens.
Yeah, I don't have the Richmond machine loaded in here. I should probably put that in there. That one didn't exist last time I programmed this radio.
Yeah, same here. I didn't know about it. Around early last year. And then I was talking with Sean. He goes, oh, here it is. And I'm like, I couldn't find that one. It's like a remote site.
Hey, assume that there's quite a dead spot between Mayville and Romeo, but I didn't have the Richmond machine program to try that one.
And I have them all programmed in there now. They're just scattered all over my channel, so I got to zip one way, zip the other way. Really didn't do it in much of an order.
Yeah, I usually do repeater book and then just set it distance from me and just start going down the line. Sometimes I'll reorder them. Like I've got FBI and then the Romeo machine and then West Bloomfield all right in a row, so I can just hammer down them as I'm traveling. But other than that, they're just kind of in distance from my location.
Yeah, I just got to order the programming course for my Alinco and do it that way, go in there and program it. Because right now it's all front panel.
Yeah, that's a good thing to be able to do. Some radios are better than others with that. I really like the... The Normally ICOM does it. They do a pretty good job with being the front panel program, at least on my my 52 and my 5100. Some other radios are pretty much impossible. I can do it on my Kenwood, but it's not ideal.
Well, the Alico isn't too bad. I mean, I could go to VFO, put in the frequency I want, and I'd hit function in the star, zip over to the PL I want, and then hit function again, and it saves it there. And then I hit the memory, spin the dial until I find an open channel, and then I save it in there. You know, so it's not too hard. It's just the fact of just staring at it and concentrating on it. So I got to lean forward because I got it mounted a little low on my... on my file box here. I should bring it up. But then I have auto offset. So that makes it easy. But I had to turn off the auto tune, or whatever you want to call it, where if I type in a frequency like 225, it goes to like 230. So I had to shut that off.
Yeah, sometimes they don't like the step if you're, if you got like a, you know, what is it, 10 kilohertz step or whatever, it won't go to 5 kilohertz increments, you know, you gotta, and I know I run into that sometimes when I'm trying to get in something that's like a, you know, an 875 or whatever, it'll go to 870 or 880, you know, it's just, you gotta change that tuning step.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I turned off the auto step. Like, I don't need you. I know how to do this. Yeah, it does. It rounds it. Especially on VHF, it gets it all quirky. So, turn it off on both A and B sides. But the auto shift is nice.
Yeah, a lot of radios will do that. As long as it's a standard shift, it'll do that. Some of them will search the PL tone somehow. I've seen it, but I haven't played with it. I guess they usually program them in.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, they'll just do a scan on the PL tone. The other nice thing I like is the ICOM. They'll use the GPS to tell you what repeater and area. So there's like a separate database you'll put in there, and you just say, "Hey, find a repeater near me," and it'll give you the list.
Yeah, my radio's not that fancy.
That's unique to the ICOM. I think maybe the later UACs do that in GPS, but it's still kind of like programming radio. You got to go get the database. It comes loaded with just the D-Star repeaters, but you can load it with whatever you want. You just got to go out and grab it.
You know, the dumb thing I didn't do is, when I ordered the radio, is I didn't get the digital chip, so now I'm kicking myself in the derriere for that, and I should have ordered the programming cable, too, but, I don't know, I got this thing for front panel programming. I got a couple ICOM HTs that are older, and I got those down a little bit to a science.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing, that can gotta be a skill sometimes. I had a Yaesu FT70, and that thing is, I can front panel program it, but it's you gotta know some key combinations and remember them in order to get it done. But yeah, the easiest thing to do that was just run a VFO, and you can easily usually get it, transmitted on the repeater, but getting it programmed and saved is a little bit more difficult.
Oh, yeah, my icon, it's at the ICOM HD, is like that. It's an older model, and you can only program it through front panel. It doesn't have software. It's older, but they're reliable. I mean, I spent $40 on two batteries, and I'm good to go there. I might order a couple more batteries for it. I haven't used them all that much, but I might start doing that.
Yeah, ICOM has good radios. I've been happy with my ICOM. I think they like the ICOM's the best that I've heard anything I've got. The second would be probably be the Kenwood.
Hey, KJ. And I stand corrected. The HDs that I have are Olinkos. I looked at the AG75. I don't know what it is. It's a goofy number, GE or something like that. But they're both dual banders. And, I read the book a couple times and I figured it out. Now I just do it pretty quick. You know, I have to download the manuals because I got them used. I got two chargers, identical HDs, and some batteries, and then, one that you can put double A's in. Don't know what that's at, though. All for about $100.
I'm going to pass the radio jammer rest up. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, I think that MDOT sign at the rest stop on the southbound side is it'll totally wipe out a UHF signal.
W8FSM. W8FU. W8FU.
Where's you off to, KE8DSI?
Farmington Hills, after a, let's say, a 4-hour, somewhat productive meeting at the office with my boss's boss.
All right. Yeah, well, 4 hours is a long time, but if it was productive, I guess that's cool. I'm just looking at this gorgeous day. I got errands to do and other things. I want to do a POTA, but I think I'm going to just get stuff done.
Well, productive all depends on intermediate productive. That means corporate trying to shove something else down your throat to do, and you don't get paid extra for it except for it. If the job closes and you quote it, and you may get a percentage, then I wouldn't call that productive.
Oh, geez, that's no fun. I must have misheard. I thought you said it was a productive meeting this morning, but yuck. It's not like you don't get that all the time. Why can't they just let you do your work and be good with it?
No, because we're frontline associates, and our customers trust us, I guess you could say, or they, you know, whatever they call it, you know, confirm with us, or whatever, they say, oh, well, hey, you need an additional motion in this corner, you know, let me quote you how much this is going to cost, and I can do it for you, at this discount rate, and we can get it done today because I have the parts and the wire, blah, blah, blah.
yeah, that brings back memories. I got memories of meetings similar to that where I was, I was a field tech, and then they wanted me to sell contracts and do inventory and blah, blah, blah. The contracts, there was a kick involved, but I commented on it, and I got called the same thing. I'm like, not a team player, but this and that. And I'm like, and it turned out to be a big flop, and they lost people over it, and this, that, and the next thing, because we had a sales crew, which it was their job to do the rest of that. So, yeah, I feel for you. It's just, yeah, that's life in that kind of world.
Oh, yeah. See, I did something prior to this new program, which is still in effect, but it's called SUS, or Services Sales. So I put in some sales leads I'm supposed to get paid, like $50, for these leads, $25 at the start and $50 to end, to get the close. Yeah, the last one I got paid on was last year. So I'm like, okay, I'm done with this.
Yep, exactly. Similar results on what things I've been through, yeah. Anyway, I'm at the UPS store, my first stop, and I'm going to Jersey Mike's, so I'll call back out when I'm done in there. Okay, KE8BSI.
All right, I'll be around for the next few minutes. 4.5 miles. KE8KGO.
KE8VSI mobile.
Yeah, very well.
KE8RUH.
You on your way home now, please?
I am. Where are you at?
Heading to Troy to grab one more run. I was planning on going to Grand Rapids today to help out, but our meeting with my boss's boss took 4 hours. I think it's pointless, but that's my opinion, and I may have well known it. Well, it rubbed some people the wrong way.
Ah, where are you headed in Troy? Where are you headed in Troy, Tom?
Oh, Big Beaver in Illinois.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of in my neighborhood. I'm at Maple and Stevenson, so not too far off from where my office is.
Yeah, the two big brown towers on the corner of Cape Beaver and Livernois. You know where those are at?
I think so.
Those are mine.
Fine. The whole, both buildings, the whole thing, you guys have all the systems in there?
Yes, I have the system for both towers and the parking deck and the elevators and, you know, my system helps control the elevators after hours. And then I have quite a few accounts in there. So, not everybody in there, but, you know, quite a few. The largest is the actual both towers, one and two.
That must be quite a bit of equipment to manage. I can imagine there's a lot of doors and a lot of proximity sensors and things like that.
Oh yeah, and then the ones that are inside the elevators, when you bag your card, and depending on what seat you're in, is what floor you can and cannot go on.
Yeah, probably a whole lot of moving parts, and a lot of programming goes into getting all of that correct.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a bunch of relays. There's, oh geez, five elevators, so that's five relay boards. Because each relay board is eight relays. Then you got to separate them into what relay goes to what floor, and then what floor goes to what access level, and what access level goes to what card user. Yeah, it's a little complicated, but once you get used to it, it's kind of simple.
Yeah, I can imagine. I used to, years ago, I managed all of our stuff at our office, all the proximity sensors and the software and all that kind of stuff. Didn't necessarily replace hardware, but just manage the software and set up the zones and all that kind of stuff. So I have a little bit of an understanding of what you do. Probably not even close, but almost enough that when you're talking, I know what you're talking about.
Well, most systems out there use leaking technology, you know, for card readers, proximity. It all depends on if it's 12.75 or 13.25 megahertz or kilohertz. You know, 26-bit, 34-bit, 37-bit cards. I got PIV cards out there. Those are 72, and those are my DOD and my federal systems. But yeah, I mean, once you see one access system, they pretty much go the same way. Just terminology is different. How you program it is different. But they all operate the same way. Which one did you use at your old office?
You know, I can't even remember what the software was called. This is like probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I forget more than I remember. I mean, I got so many different access systems in my head, it takes me a minute. But some of the old school stuff I can still do with ease, some of the older DOS-based systems. Windows 3.1, Windows 95. I mean, most of it is pretty cut and dry, unless you get to the higher-end systems, like OnGuard or ProWatch or Secure 9000. Those ones involve a little bit more mental math, I guess you can say. But, I mean, they just program in different ways.
Yeah, I think this was a program that was on a Windows 97 PC. I think.
I mean, you give me a written manual for me just to breeze through, and then I can pretty much figure it out. You know, or if they don't have one, I mean, I've converted a Blue Diamond to a CASI system. I've changed a Blue Diamond to a CanTech system. Like I said, it all depends on what's in there. Once I sit down in front of it and then my mind starts working, then it's pretty easy to figure out.
I would imagine you got a ton of reps in, so it's probably all just, like you said, it's a matter of time, a few minutes staring at it, and you're inputting data. I would imagine at a certain level, they're all the same, and then there's just little different nuances.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the same as like Windows 10 and Windows 11. They both operate the same way. It's just one has a little bit more different capabilities than the other, and the GUI looks different, but works the same way. It's all logic. If this, then that.
Yep. Hey, give me a few minutes. I'm in a bunch of traffic right here. I'll call back out in 5.
Yeah, no rush getting to this, the towers over here. I have special parking. I park in the back, so just be careful out there. I'll talk to you when I'm done here. I'll throw my call out. KACKGO.
All right, K8RUH. Have a good day. But I'll talk to you later.
I had the
I have a 6550 HP, and I was able to copy a lot of that over, so made it kind of nice to be able to grab it all, load it in, set up a few little lists and stuff like that, but be able to grab a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I got MI5 in there for 51 and 52. Oh, I think I got 53 and 54 in there also. And I got Oakland ARPSC in there for when they're doing events. And I got their frequencies in there. And I got W808K and DMR in there now. What I'm going to do now is dig up Wayne and whoever else is out there. Maybe St. Clair.
I think Todd has a DMR on his machine too. I think WCMC, the DMR there. I think there's one in Detroit too. I don't know if that one's online or not, though. But a few brand wise machines in the Detroit area.
Yeah, once I get some extra time, I'm going to put some more in there, different zones. But right now, I mean, with MI5 in there, it pretty much covers a lot of, you know, a lot of the area.
For $100 or sell you a new one for $1,000?
No, instead of sending it to a sales rep and getting that done, or set, you know, the other application, which is service to sales, and, you know, making possibly $50 on the whole sale, they more or less want us to sell it and install it. And I said, I'm not climbing ladders. I'm not pulling cable. I said, I'm done doing that. I've been here too long. I'm done.
And said that I was a negative influence on the other technicians. Just because you're dumb, your idea is dumb and I speak up doesn't mean it's not a smart idea. I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of cut out the salesman and make you guys sales, and are you at least going to get commission out of it if you do?
Oh, yeah, if the job gets billed out and we complete it and the customer agrees to it, we get 6% of the total. And, you know, but we won't see that money for like a month. You know, it's not immediately on our paycheck. It's like a month after it goes through whatever process it needs to go through. It's just another line of crap. And I'm not buying it. They said, I'll believe it when I see it. She goes, wouldn't you like an extra $700 for this type of job? I'm like, sure. I said, but I shouldn't have to work towards it to get it. I said, I should be making more money. I said, considering I'm not your top access guy, and everybody comes to me and my coworker for a lot of problems, and I said, we go out there and do this stuff. I said, I should get a raise, but I know I can't get that either because of media. So, yeah, I balked at it a lot. I mean, I really... I rocked the boat where my coworkers were killed. And I mean, I was just annoyed by it all.
Hey, this is not the union line. It's not your job description to be a sales rep?
I literally ordered asked that flat out. Is it voluntary or is it mandatory? She goes, well, it's organic right now, but it will become mandatory. Like, so, I am expected to sell one quote, or quote, one job, what, a week, a month, a year, you know? So they want us to doing part of, you know, part salesman, part installer, and part service. I mean, you've got enough of a workload just being service. And now you want me to upsell on a piece of junk of equipment that should have been replaced, you know, 5 years ago because the salesman wanted to keep buying stuff off of eBay? I don't think so. I'll sell batteries all day long. You know, but I'm not doing it, basically.
Yeah, if they make that part of your performance review or whatever, could be a real ordeal, especially, I imagine a lot of your customers are not able just to whip out a check and here you go, do whatever you want, you know, they got to go through boards and budgets and all that other stuff.
Well, some will, but you know, the cost they have to relocate this motion or relocate this button. Put it on a job, you know, on a regular service call, that's billable. And I'm like, oh no, can't do that. And turn it into a tech quote and do it that way. It's like, okay, so I'm doing double the work and it takes 45 minutes for one tech quote to go through, if not up to an hour. So basically I can be done with the job before the job even gets posted on my page. So I'm not too keen on it.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody thought they had a smart idea. We can save some heads and have our people do three jobs.
Oh, not only that is now found out that if you have a contract, if we go over there and replace a damaged part, and we have to charge for number two. So they have a broken magnet on the door and I replace it and I charge them $50 for the magnet, but I charge them $1,500 for a service call. And I mean, $2,000 for a stupid $10 part. It, you know, it's dumb. Very dumb.
Yeah, that's pretty normal, though. Last laugh at some of our prices. We looked at some of our stuff, and you know, we'll have some parts. We'll look up, you know, what we pay for them, and it's like 2 cents. And you look at what they get for them at the dealer. They want like $8 for the thing, and that's you know, that's just a part. Let alone somebody wants to install it. You know, that's make money on paying people to do stuff.
Well, yeah, she sat there and literally complained, about how she got to be a safety person or whatever for the company where she goes, yeah, and says, she was doing this one job that came in and plopped all this stuff, says she was a new safety manager. And she goes, am I getting a raise for this? We don't know, here it is. So, but yet they want us to do that. We don't get a raise and expect us to do more work.
I'm not doing that unless I'm getting paid the same commission a salesperson would. They've got 2 miles of K-Rail pulled out.
Yeah, 2 miles of what?
2 miles of K-Rail on the construction here. They're at the 106 mile marker.
Oh, I don't know, I'm going through some backwoods area, I guess. I'm trying to get up to Commerce Boulevard, but... Take it easy, bro.
Yeah, scenic route could be good. Especially in the fall with all the leaves.
I'm driving the kind of houses that are like 3 times more my annual salary.
Oh, yeah. After some Grey Poupon on a Rolls Royce?
Oh, no, they're all excited by driving electric vehicles around here.
Yeah, a couple of people I work with, they drive through that area to get to work. And they had a thing going on, and they had the Bentley du jour. They would send pictures of Bentley that they would find on the road back and forth to each other.
I just can't see it. I know that was a conversation that was, that was out there before in regards to electric vehicles. I mean, they're nice for tooling around. I mean, if you're just doing short stints and stuff. But that's about it. No, that is, the battery dies. You got to replace it. It's about half the price of the actual vehicle that you bought it for. So you got to finance the car first, and then before you can get the car financed or paid off in 5 years, you buy new batteries.
Yeah, that's been kind of my thoughts too. When you actually break it even, they do these break even things, and it's like, I've seen some analysis, and it's like, yeah, but after 5 years, you got to replace that battery, the lithium ion, so they take so many charges, and now you've got hazardous material to deal with. You can't just throw that in the landfill. You got to take care of that properly. It's not, you just go to a junkyard and crush it up and send it to the scrapper, the costs are way too high for not much more, I could see them eventually, but costs are too high right now, and the charging is another issue that just, you couldn't drive up to the UP in one day, you gotta sit for an hour somewhere in between and charge the battery.
Right. Now, going with a hybrid, that's a different idea. Because my coworker just put out a new truck. He went on the hybrid Maverick. He built it up and went from the driver to Sheboygan. The Mackinac City, the windows up in the UP. Back home, and we filled up, I think it's a country. That's about it, but we got a ton of mileage out of that thing.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. The market's about shifting more towards hybrid than the BEV. we're coming out with the Reeve, the new system for the that they're putting on the Grand Wagoneer. It's you've got an electric motor and a battery, but it's all straight up charged from a combustion engine, like a locomotive. So, I'm interested to see how that does.
Hey, that's a smart way to go. It is traction motors with a combustion engine and way more mileage, because you run traction motors and all the combustion engine is a generator. Just like, you know, just like a D40 gas tube.
Engine isn't turning the propeller, they've got a motor doing it. All the diesel's doing is giving electricity and charging batteries.
Exactly. Or hydraulic, you know. Hydraulics are spinning the propellers. It's a way better way than, you know, the way you're conserving fuel. Because you're not burning fuel to get the propellers in the water. You're an electric motor that has a lot more torque than a.
Yeah, the max torque is at stall. So, we'll see how it performs and how it sells. How that does, but people still want their big V8s.
Well, don't get me wrong. I like a nice, you know, Chevy small block.
They put in the charger, it sounds nice, but, I heard a mule outside of work one day, it sounds really good, but, it's definitely no V8.
Exactly. Nothing beats the roar of a V8. Oh, yeah, and the Vipers. I love the Vipers. I mean, that was a great, car, the Viper SRT10, and then the, what's the one with the blue and white stripes? That one, both of them are awesome. I love them both.
Yeah, they've been making those well, you know.
Too far on the Viper.
Basically. I got a phone call here, and I got to get out quick soon. Give me a bit of
luck. Before you go off too far on the Viper, talk about the Hellcat for a minute. NHTV. Oh, the Hellcats are great. I mean, for Dodge, and just doing, going beyond what you could think of a gate. Let's put a Hellcat engine and a Dodge Caravan. Okay, I mean, only Dodge will do that.
Yeah, they were actually talking about doing that. But I was picking up some engines from Roush that were being dyno tested, and that was back when the Hellcat motors were putting out around, I think it was 714 horsepower. They went up since then. But as I was picking up these engines, they brought them from across the street, and they were blowing the fuel out of the fuel rails with a tank of nitrogen and collecting up the fuel and getting it out of the lines. So I said, that doesn't smell like regular gasoline. What kind of fuel is that? The guy said that for these motors to run properly, they should be running on 108 octane.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the higher performance motors, they don't need that baby stuff in there to choke it down. No, 108, no, that's perfect. You can probably mix it with 92 and still get the same, for, you know, a little bit lower percentage, but still get good octane on it. But definitely, definitely. I used to run high octane in my Escalade, but then the price got too high.
Well, they used to sell over here on Gratiot at the Citgo station the Turbo Blue fuel. Turbo Blue is only 104 octane. So even Turbo Blue isn't proper fuel for the Hellcat. How many people do you think are driving around Hellcat Challengers and Chargers and TRX trucks running 89 octane in there?
Oh, there's probably more people than we can count on our fingers and toes. I know the best fuel besides the 104 is recreational fuel. I was told that by my mechanic. Recreational fuel has no ethanol in it. And I said I put rec fuel in mine. It's a little bit more expensive. It was a super price link, and he ran fantastic.
I had a friend, haven't seen him in probably 25 years, lost track of him. Knew him through a girl that we had mutual interest in. But he had a 67 GTO, and he said he used to run 94 octane in that, and then put the lead substitute and octane boost in there, and he said the octane just went off the charts. But you couldn't do it with cheaper gas. He said you got to start off with a decent gas. So the Ultra 94 was what he used to run to start off with, and then put the additives in. So, but I'm sure there's a ton of vehicles out there being run on, you know, crappy low octane gas, and they're just ruining those motors.
Yeah, in my younger years, when I was a teenager, I had a 74 Nova with a 350 custom 4-volt. And my mechanic up there says, you don't need to run that substitute because the car's been, you know, had like 120,000 miles. He says, run at 94. So I ran at 94 and did a lift double seat every so often. Oh, yeah, I did it. I put the port, big after. Cause the car to flip the air cleaner cover upside down. More air into the fuel. And there are a couple times where I put stuck the top of the air cleaner in. Because I was pushing, want so much air into it. It was great.
Well, what year motor was that 354 bolt main?
Chevy Nova 350 Custom. I found out that the Custom actually had 4-bolt main in it. It had a turbo 400 trans, and it had limited slip positive rear end. It was all stock. And I used a race that thing constantly in California until I blew the trans.
Well, by 74, they had them choked down quite a bit. Lowered the compression. 71, you saw a big drop off. 70 was the last of the high compression motors. I've got I got motors manuals over here. If I dug them out, I don't know what I've got. Four of them, I think, on the couch over here. But if I went digging in the file cabinet, I've got tons of those old motors, repair manuals. And those listed all of the different motors, compression ratios, bores and strokes, and the whole nine yards. Had all the tightening specs and bolt patterns for rebuilding and stuff like that. And, man, I used to study that book like the back of my hand. I knew that thing when I was a teenager. I was looking up motors in those things all the time. 68, 69, and 70 were the biggest performance years. And after 70, they started to taper off. By 75, everything was choked down with unleaded fuel and stuff like that. Low lead, I think they called it back then, low lead fuel. Well, I remember growing up through those days. Right here, 1970, 1976, and a 1972.
Oh, I got you. All right, I just got to my run. I'll be back out in a bit. JZKKO.
Yep, I just opened up the book. Looking for the engine specs. Chrysler. Chevy Vega and Pontiac Astra. Yep. Cool books. Monza, Skyhawk, and Starfire, and Sunbird. So, yep. All right. Catch up with you later. NH TV. WABDD.
N1KRD.
WAFU, WEFU, KEAZRI.
KEAZRI, KEALAX. He's probably in bed by now. I could be wrong, but.
Hi, Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
You sound entirely different on VHF as opposed to DMR. You sound like a whole different person. Over.
Yeah, QSL. That's kind of how it is for everybody. But there is key notes that you can pick up out of someone's voice over the digital end that gives them a recognizing sound.
Roger that. Yeah, I could tell it was you. Hey, let me ask you something. Did something happen with GMRS over the weekend? Was there some kind of trouble with the radios? Over.
I don't believe so. I don't think we touched the GMRS machine over there. Unless there was some issues and they disconnected it. I know sometimes that happens when people start getting a little obnoxious, if you will.
Yeah, Roger, that's what I mean. Seems as though something happened with some people getting obnoxious, and I was just monitoring them, these other people, on GMR, and they're a little frustrated. I guess the Mount Clemens repeater was shut off or something, and now they're all thinking about going and getting their ham licenses. I thought that was funny.
Oh, brother, I better turn it back on.
All right, that one got me going.
That was real funny listening to those guys talk. They were all thinking about how they're going to go and get their technician license, and this guy wants to do it, this guy wants to wait. The other one wants to get his right away. I think that was real funny.
Hey, Sean, you got stepped on. Go ahead again.
I heard my call, and by the time I got to the radio, you had already jumped in there, picked up the other station, but now I hear what it might have been all about. I assume that you were looking for some clarification on the weekend's festivities.
Yeah, Roger that, Sean. I was just trying to figure out what went on because I missed it all.
In general, I really don't like talking about that service here. But having said that, I will just say that we were busy. We were up working on the equipment on the on the building, and I actually got a call from one of the stakeholders because there's like four or five stakeholders, you know, that are in that network, and you know, it had gone from, you know, goofing around and, you know, and noise and stuff like that to it started getting vile, foul, the language, and you know, and there was reports of doxing, and it really struck a nerve with, you know, most of the people that are big on that service over there, they're involved in public safety, and they're like, we can't have this, and so it was shut down because it went, you know, keying up or playing some music's one thing, but, you know, there's kids listening out there. So we just shut it down, and then we've been discussing over the weekend where to go from here. So it was reluctantly brought back online this morning. We'll see how it goes. No more linking, and it's a day by day, minute by minute, you know, where we go with it.
Roger that. Well, whatever. I think you did the right thing, and you know, it'll cause them to think about it for a while, and they got to learn to follow the rules. You know, yeah, they got to learn to follow the rules. I think they're on the Detroit repeater right now, and yeah, but also, Sean, I want to thank you for what you did at Mount Clemens. Thank you. I think that's just a fantastic thing that you guys all got together and did what you did. I wish I could have been there to help, but maybe next time. Yeah, I just think that that's such a great thing. You don't know how much we all appreciate you. Over.
Yeah, I've said it once, said it again. I'm not fond of the accolades or the and all that stuff. I do it for fun. I do it because it's not hard for me. So just leave it at that. But we have fun doing it, right? We had a blast, and there'll be more. You know, we'll get to do more of that. But anyhow, you know, on that other one there, I'll just leave it at that because I really don't want to talk about it. I don't care who's who or who's doing what. It's just really about, you know, what we can or can't allow, you know, on the air. And like I said, I can't emphasize enough. So many parents, I went out as a parent and bought my kids little FRS radios. You know, so there's just so many little kids out there with these little radios. It's like, come on, man, we got to be better than that. So that's really what it came down to. Plus my partners, you know, they're just a gas. They're not, I'm a ham radio operator, so I have some familiarity with this, but they're aghast. They have no clue. They're just like, what is this? So, all right, anyhow, I got to get back to what I was doing. Good hearing you guys. Let you guys carry on. W8FU after yours.
Hey, Sean, and thanks again for what you did in Mount Clemens there on, you know, the wind link thing. And, gosh, I'm just really proud of you. Thank you very much again. And, 73s, this is KEAZRI listening.
Yeah, Sean, no Liz, no kids, no space cadets, right? This is KEAUHC.
Right. Hey, did you get a hold of Todd? He's been calling you left and right.
Oh, no, I mean, today he was calling me?
Yesterday and today, although I haven't heard him lately, but he's been calling you, I mean, a lot the last couple of days.
Okay. I'll do that. Yeah, I talked to him yesterday after the double nickel net. Yeah. We're going to have a little get together, celebrate at the Blue Goose. We're going to run a net here, I think, the first weekend first Monday in December. And he had some follow-up, and he had some, I think, played a video of how he erected power and all that kind of thing. And sure, Warrenite. I don't know if you've ever seen that video or not, but okay, I'll get in touch with him. Thanks, Sean.
All right, Steve-O. Sounding good, by the way, in the system today. So, you know, bacon fry, but you're doing well. Okay, let me hop out. Man, it's only 8:10. I got a few hours to go. Got to catch up on one of my programs. Watch some cat videos, you know, the regular routine. Probably goes to Dean now. W8FU.
I know, before I forget, yeah, I was planning on going to the trade meeting on Thursday. Usually it's on Wednesday, but it's on Thursday, so I'm going to talk about, get them, you know, on board real quick about those radios and stuff like that, those trunks and stuff, so. That's also my thinking change. That's what I'm going to do. 73, this is KAAUHC.
WFU, KAAUHC.
Yeah, Phil, you caught me typing the sentence.
Yeah, I sent you a text with some numbers on it. I just want to make sure you got it.
Hmm. Was it regular text via to the, my phone, or was it Discord or Facebook Messenger? Because I don't see anything.
Yeah, it was regular text. You know, I had you down. I get you down twice. One with the your old call, one with your new call. And for some reason, I had two different chains going. I sent it to the one for your current call.
Well, but the text message, it has nothing to do with my call. So what forum did you send it to?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's just how I have referenced in my phone. But why do I have two separate chains? That's the question. Or two separate text paths for you. That's weird. I wonder if I have two different numbers for you, which I shouldn't.
Well, let me check. I have some... Let's see. I'm just trying to figure out where it would be. Let's see. Could it be here? No, it's not there. And my work number? No, not there. Well, it's a mystery to me. I'm not seeing anything incoming from you anywhere.
All right, I'm going to have to see what number it's associated with.
I'm pretty sure I know the numbers. Probably coordinates, I'm thinking.
Yeah, this is associated with the number that ends in a 1.
What about a 1? I disconnected there.
Yeah, the text was sent to a phone number ending in 1.
Have you got a text over there that you don't know who it's from? Okay. Weird. I can't think of what it would be ending in 1. Well, let me, give me a minute. Let me think. But I've got nothing, nowhere.
All right, I'll send it to you the number. I'm not sure what this number is. Why I have it in there. But apparently I have 2.
What's the last 2? Is it 9-1?
No, 1-1.
Oh. Hold on. I'm not even sure I can get text on that. That's my VoIP number.
Oh. Okay. Well, apparently you sent me something on that one. So that's why it came up in my history, and I just responded to that.
Yeah, I have no way of, I have no idea how I would even possibly receive or send anything there. I think if I tried to call you with it or something like that, it might automatically send something. But, yeah, I have no clue how I would even access that.
Okay. All right, I'll resend it to the right one. When I get home in a few minutes.
All righty. Again, I'm going to get back to it. W8FU.
All righty then. Catch you later. Okay, Pierre.
WAEED.